This is your Concordia, Nebraska All Sports Leader, Koopski, brought to you by The Sower. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Wyatt Kubi, alongside my partners, Eric Cumley. And we got a dominating weekend of sports for you guys.
Oh, it was very dominating. You know, we had a couple new sports going, and we have sports coming towards the end, and we finished strong through those sports, and we started out strong in the new sports.
Yes, we did. We're going to kick it off with women's basketball. They destroyed Doan University 98-57, and really it was all around basketball. We had three double-digit point getters, if you wouldn't want to say that. Mackenzie Koepke got 17 points and grabbed 5 rebounds of her own. Taylor Cockrell finished with 12 points and 4 assists, passing the rock quite a bit. And then Avery Lambert also finished with 11 points coming off the bench and grabbed 5 rebounds of her own as well.
Mackenzie Koepke really had a great game. I mean, I'm not sure if this is true, but that's one of her highest scoring points this season. She led the team with 17, as you said. And Taylor Cockrell doing what she normally does, getting her 12. You know, she usually gets more, but 12 is good.
12 is about average, yeah. Really.
And then coming off the bench, like you said, Avery, getting that 11. She helped a bunch getting that double-digit scoring for us.
She definitely did. And also want to point out, with this blowout lead, we were able to see a lot of the freshmen step in and play. For instance, number 35, Sadie Powell, came into the game early, and she was able to put up 8 points in the game and grab 5 rebounds of her own. So that's going to be a huge boost to know that we can still have players who can grab rebounds coming off the bench as freshmen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a huge boost going into GPAC for the tournament. I mean, this was their last game before the tournament, and they ended it very well. So their momentum going into there, their number 2 seed.
Yeah, right now they're number 2.
Yep, so they will have a home game. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But a home game, number 2 seed, coming off a blowout win, there's not much that can stop you after that.
Exactly. And then another freshman who kind of shined, really, number 32, Kendall Brigham, shot 75% from 3, finished with 9 points, all coming from the 3-point range. She only missed one 3-point shot. That's very impressive.
What a sniper.
She's a sniper. If she can continue to do that in the long run, those 9 points might turn into 29.
Yeah, and like you said, she came off the bench for it, so she didn't have all the opportunities as other players probably would.
Right, she came in like late third quarter, most of the fourth quarter is when she came in.
Yeah, I mean, if she would have started the game, she probably would have had even more, and those 3-pointers would have been sinking.
Right, so great high hopes for the future of Concordia basketball. The next future game for the women's Bulldogs is going to be the home game for the GPAC quarterfinals against Dakota Wesleyan. That is February 24th. Tip-off will be at 7 p.m. inside Friedrich Arena. Fans are allowed, but we'll have to wear masks. So that's nothing new.
Yeah, no, that's nothing new. And you know, if they win this game, they'll play again Saturday, but again, we won't know when, who, where, and if they'll play.
Right, so if you do want to see updates, please follow us on Instagram and Twitter to see if they win, and we'll play on Saturday, really. Our social media platforms are at CUNEKoopski for Instagram, and Twitter
is at Koopski.
All right, so go follow those pages for updates on whether the women win or not. As we continue to roll on with basketball, we're going to go to the men's side of the situation. They played 2 games this last week. First one had a blowout win against Hastings, winning that game 106-73. Just a dominating performance.
Everybody dominated.
Oh, everybody. Everybody got minutes.
3 players that reached 15 points or above, and 4 that reached double digits.
Yeah, that's very impressive. The leading scorer was none other than Carter Kent, finishing with 19 points. Also picked up 7 assists as well. He was passing the rock.
Yeah, he was scoring, and he was passing the rock to all the other players. I mean, Gage Smith had 17 points and 11 total rebounds.
Another double-double. This man is dominating the glass this season. I don't think there's a better rebounder in GPAC, really. If you take a look at all the stats in all the games, I think he's the top rebounder in GPAC.
This is his 9th double-double of the season.
Exactly.
He's constantly having them, and that's just proving your point even more.
Justin Wiersma also continues to shine as he grabbed 16 points of his own, 4 rebounds, and had 6 assists. So he's also getting into the middle and dishing it out.
And then lastly, our last double-digit points getter, I guess you'd call it, was Sam Scarpelli with 12 points, who had 3 rebounds and 3 assists.
Right, and he finished, all those points was from 3, really. He shot 4-for-6 from 3-point range. You know, that's not that bad, really, to go 4-for-6 and getting 12 points. Those 12 points were actually key to expand the lead.
Oh, yeah, it was. And not just those 12 points, but we beat them in rebounds 40-25.
Woo! That's saying a lot. But, you know, congrats to them. And also, senior Thomas Young, who hasn't really played significant this season, but has done a lot for coming off the bench and playing a little defense, shot 3-for-5 and for 3 and got 9 points. So coming off the bench, grabbing 9 points as well, not bad. He's known as a sharpshooter, so that's pretty normal for him. Speaking of normal, this is kind of abnormal, but also not normal, because we played Doan again as well as on February 20th. And it was another blowout win, 84-63 against Doan. I just want to point out, Gage Smith shows up on a radar again with 21 points and 13 rebounds. That's his 10th double-double.
I mean, I said it was his 9th, and we didn't even get to the next game. That's his 10th.
Exactly. This man is on fire, shooting it and grabbing those rebounds. And 7 of those were basically second-chance opportunities as they were offensive rebounds. And then he had 6 defensive rebounds as well to shut down Doan's offense.
Talking about Gage Smith all the time, and he's just proven more and more why we're talking about him, and proven more and more why your theory on he's the greatest rebounder in GPAC.
Right. I mean, this is impressive. Also, Justin Wiersma also grabbed 15 points and 3 assists, so he was making his way through the court points-wise. He also had 3 dunks. I just want to point that out. Very spectacular fast break dunks. A nice two-hand flush where he hung on the rim and did a little swing.
You know, that gets the crowd going.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing better than a classic dunk.
And then he had a fast break one-hand slam. That was pretty nice. And then another fast break, just two-hand, but it bounced off the rim and then just went in. So, I mean, it technically is a dunk, but it bounced off the rim and went in. Anyways.
Carter Kent also had 13 points.
He
also had 5 rebounds, and all those rebounds came from defense.
Yes. So Doan, I was at that game for your information. Doan was trying to shoot the lights out from 3 because they were behind so much. So a lot of them were long rebounds that Kent was able to grab, and then he turned those into fast break opportunities. So really, he was just in the right place at the right time. He's a very smart basketball player. Kind of upsetting that he's a junior and has 1 year left, because I would love to see him for another 4 years. But the way I've been able to watch him grow as a freshman into a junior now, he's still the same 3-point lights out shooter that we saw coming in as a freshman. But now he's able to go grab rebounds and really pass the ball a lot better than he did coming in as a freshman. So he's improved a lot in those aspects of his game. And that's very impressive. And honestly, as a fan, it's good to see.
You know, just as a team in general, ending the season how they ended it against Doan, that just like the women's, that's great, getting great momentum going into GPAC, as this was their last game right before the tournament.
Exactly. So the Bulldogs will also play Dakota Wesley. How surprising is that in the GPAC tournament? But this time, it'll be at Dakota Wesleyan in Mitchell, South Dakota. Tip-off will be at 7 p.m. Limited fans are allowed and have to wear masks. So I don't know if away fans can go. But we'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a great game. We're ranked 5. They're ranked 4. This is going to be a really hard-fought game. I mean, we split the series 1-1 with them through the season. So.
We did. And also, this is a rematch of last year's GPAC championship, where it came down at Mitchell, South Dakota, against Dakota Wesleyan. And our men's were able to hold on and beat Dakota Wesleyan for our first GPAC championship since 2005. So a lot of good things are looking up for the Bulldogs coming into this game. And once again, if they win, they will play Saturday. And that game will be determined off of this game. So please follow us on Instagram at CUNEKubski and Twitter
at Kubski
to find out information and updates on whether they won or lost. Updating you on the world of wrestling, because we haven't talked to them in a while. They did not have a great season.
No, we didn't have a great season, but we still qualified some wrestlers for nationals. Qualified three total. And Jacob Tell has actually won GPAC for heavyweight as a freshman. So, I mean, congratulations to him. We also had Gabe Crawford at 165 qualify. And then Mario Ybarra qualified at 133. His is a little different case. Gabe Crawford lost his first match, actually, and was able to battle all the way back in the backside of the bracket and end up taking true second. Actually, the wrestler that he wrestled in the second place match is the guy that he lost to in his first match.
How interesting.
So he got a little bit of revenge there, which was great for him.
Yes,
and
it is.
Mario has not wrestled since about December, early January, but he was able to qualify with what they call a coach's selection as an at-large qualifier. So the coaches respected him enough to able to vote him in for the national tournament.
I mean, the national tournament wouldn't be the same without him, really.
No, it wouldn't. I mean,
he qualified since he was a freshman.
Yeah, so he's qualified every single year. So, I mean, it's just not the same without him. And this year, it's a little different. He went up a weight class. Other than that, the team as a total scored sixth at GPAC, so not the greatest. But, you know, we had a couple good guys qualify. And, again, just Jacob Tells dominating throughout the entire year. His last match for the championship, the guy he wrestled ranked 10th in the nation, and he beat him. This year, Jacob Tells, he's 33-11 as a freshman. Again, I can't get over as a freshman.
As a freshman, this man is on his way to really break some records. I don't know exactly what records, but he's on his way to break some records. man is impressive, to say the least.
He's very impressive. Not just him, but our heavyweight class in the past has been impressive. We've had two recent national finalists at heavyweight. I mean, we all remember Tanner Farmer.
Oh, yeah. Tanner Farmer, one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest Bulldog heavyweight wrestlers that we've seen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you kind of have to be if you're coming from Nebraska as a center.
Right. Like, the UNL, the University of Nebraska, as a center, a three-year starter at that position, and then able to sneak in a little loophole that all divisions really have, where you can have one extra semester of eligibility for a different sport. And he chose wrestling here at Concordia, and what an honor it was. He went undefeated in the regular season. His only loss was in the championship round of the national tournament.
And he barely lost that one, too.
Yes,
it was
did.
By a last-second takedown.
It was a great matchup, but incredible athlete. You know, it was just fun to watch. I'm really excited to watch Jacob Tells shine throughout his Concordia career. We can see him do amazing things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we only had Tanner Farmer for one semester, so, I mean, it was kind of like a one-hit wonder type thing, just kind of a fun thing to watch. You don't get to see it all the time. But we're going to be able to watch Jacob Tells all 4 years of his collegiate career, and, you know, it's already starting on a great foot with winning GPAC.
Right, exactly, and I hope it continues, really. Next up for the wrestling team is those national qualifiers to wrestle in the national tournament, which will be March 5th in Wichita, Kansas. The times will be to be determined, so please check out our Instagram and Twitter pages to find out information when that comes about. Oh, it'll be a two-day duel, by the way. It'll be March 5th and 6th, so let's clarify. Speaking of national tournaments and GPAC, really, we have another indoor GPAC track and field GPAC champion. The women's go for a four-peat. What a performance. What a way to do it. They win GPAC for the fourth straight year.
Last week we were talking about they had potential because they won GPAC indoor 2019, GPAC outdoor 2019, and then GPAC indoor 2020, and then outdoor got canceled, sadly. But, you know, another championship for the women's. And men's took third.
Yeah, men's
took
third.
And men's
took
third.
Which is, you know, kind of been their little tradition. I mean, obviously, 2 years ago, they finished fifth. And now, last year, they finished third and fourth, indoor and outdoor, or outdoor and indoor. And then this year, to be able to go third. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, third's still really impressive, but they just can't seem to get over that hump of third. I mean, they've kind of had that consistency. If their third's not bad at all. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad at all, but we just can't get over the hump to get that first, you know?
Right. GPAC champions were Rachel Battershell, Morgan DeJean, Kaylin Heritage, and Cody Williams. Rachel Battershell won the 400-meter dash with a finishing time of 56.67 seconds.
That's her third career GPAC title at 400 meters.
Yes, it is.
So she has made it known that that is her run. That's her race.
That's her event, man. Yeah. That's impressive. And Morgan DeJean won the weight throw.
She won the weight throw with 56 feet, 3 and 1/4 inches.
That's very far. And Kaylin Heritage finished the women's 1,000-meter run in first place with a time of 3 minutes, 4.24 seconds. Woo-wee! And second place was 3 minutes, 4.93 seconds. That is pretty close. I mean, it was also a good lead with from a 0.24 to a 0.93. That's a pretty good lead right there. But, you know, that's still very impressive as a sophomore winning GPAC. So, congratulations to her. And Cody Williams won the heptathlon. And that's a bunch of events tied into one. So, I don't really have an event for that. Or like
a time or a jump.
He just won it by points. So, congratulations to him. We also had some runner-ups happen. Rachel Battershell finds her name again in the... Where they were at, apparently they didn't have a 60-meter dash or 60-meter hurdles. They had a 55, which doesn't make sense. So it's 5 meters shorter. So Rachel Battershell finished in second in the 55 hurdles. So still very impressive. Cora Olson finished second in the 55-meter dash and second in the long jump. Very close in margin to getting first place for her. And then she was also 6 points behind the MVP, who was from Hastings. So if she has the opportunity still as a junior to be able to grow one more season and hopefully get that MVP, because she's doing a ton of events. Yeah. Triple jump, hurdles, long jump, 200 as well. So she's in a lot of events.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great to see her next season. Because, I mean, she's right there. She's so close to winning those. And, you know, just next season, she's going to get it. She's finally going to get it. But, you know, on to pole vault. We didn't have a men's pole vault winner.
Josie Pels for our women's finished second in GPAC. She finished second, only being able to clear 12 feet 4 inches. And first place was able to outmatch her by two heights with 12 feet and 8 inches. So, kind of unfortunate she wasn't able to continue her 13 feet streak, but still, second in GPAC as a sophomore. Very impressive.
And, you know, the men's, we didn't get a winner there, but we took second, third, and fourth. So, we are all right there. I mean, Zach Zoer took second with 15 feet, 11, and 1/4 inch. Zach Bennett took third with 15 feet, 7, and 1/4 inches. And Chase Berry took fourth with 14 feet, 9.5 inches.
I mean, that's how you rack up points. That's probably one of the reasons why they were able to grab third, really. Because each placement has a higher number of points. So that's very helpful and very impressive. Now, moving on to the athletes who were able to qualify for nationals in the indoor season. We have on the men's side, Zach Bennett Jr. in pole vault. Chase Berry, sophomore in pole vault. The men's 4x4 meter relay, which includes Jacob Jennings, Cade Kleckner, Colton Meyer, and Henry Raymer. Also, Xavier Ross is part of that 4x4 meter relay team. He's been hurt these last few weeks, but he's finally, I talked to him earlier today, he's finally able to run again, and he's going to come back, hopefully very strong, in these upcoming events, really, in nationals. Wyatt Loga also qualified, he's a sophomore, in the high jump. McCoy Minke qualified in the distance medley relay, along with freshman Calvin Rode, also alongside Camden Cessna and Christian Von Cleve. Those four athletes will be in the distance medley relay. Cody Williams qualified in the heptathlon, high jump, and pole vault, as well as freshman Zach Zoner in the pole vault as well. And last but not least, Chris Wren is qualified in the weight throw. So, a lot of good men competing in the national tournament. Hopefully they can come out in a big way here.
Yeah, we had 15 men and 23 women qualify. Phew,
and we're going to get to those women real quick. All right, here we go. Anna Back, senior for pole vault. Rachel Battershell in the women's 400, women's 60-meter hurdles, and part of the women's 4x4-meter relay. Carrie Bauer also qualified in the 600 meters, and she's also a part of the 4x4-meter relay team. Jamie Broman qualified in the long jump. So congratulations to her on that. She goes back-to-back in long jump appearances in nationals for indoor. So congratulations to her. Olivia Buscio in the weight throw, freshman. So congratulations to her. Another freshman, Amira Cummings in the pole vault. Wow, that's a huge honor to go into the national tournament as a freshman. And not surprised, Morgan DeJean in the weight throw. Abby Gerber, freshman, shot put. Riley Hecker as a freshman for the 1,000 meters and part of the distance medley relay. Kaylin Heritage once again goes to the national meet in the women's 1,000 meters and part of the distance medley relay. Sarah Lewis qualifies in the 60-meter hurdles, 400-meter dash, and part of the 4x4-meter relay. She's no stranger to national meet, so congratulations to her on that again. Emily Loy in the pentathlon, Ellie Luer in shot put, Aaron Mapson in pole vault, Kennedy Mogul in the pentathlon, J.C. Pfeiffer in the 600-meter dash, Josie Pels in pole vault. Mind you, she's second in the nation right now with 13 feet and 4.5 inches. That's where she sits, so that's very impressive. Sitting second. Sarah Ragland in the weight throw. Grace Raymond, part of the distance medley relay. Amy Richert, freshman, in high jump and the pentathlon. Katie Sievert in long jump. Freshman Lainey Wirtz, part of the 4x4-meter relay. And last but not least, Sydney Chernakus, part of the distance medley relay. Congratulations to all those athletes competing in the Indoor Track and Field National Tournament. That will be held in Yankton, South Dakota on March 3rd through 6th. It is a four-day tournament, so good luck to all those athletes.
You know, I'm going to say good luck, or not good luck. I'm going to say good job to you, too. You just named off a whole list of athletes from track that, you know, I was thinking about stepping in, but, you know, you kept going good, and so I was just going to let you do your thing.
Thank you. That was a lot of names.
It was. You did good.
Moving on to dance and cheer. Dance beat Doan 73-65.10. We're talking about them once again doing better than their previous mark. This is their highest point score yet at 73, beating last week's 72.35.
Each week we're talking about them getting better, and they just keep getting better.
They do.
Each week they're up a point or two. You know, they're just getting better. I don't know what else to say. Each week is better and better. They keep climbing that mountain.
Yes, they continue to do that. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Next for them will be the GPAC Championships. But they finished the season 4-1 in duels. They placed second in their first ever Friends University Day of Duels. And they finished second in the Concordia Dance and Cheer Invitational. So a great season, and they look to continue that role February 26th when they compete in the GPAC Cheer and Dance Championships, also tied in with the NAIA Northwest Regional Qualifier. They do two separate dances, basically. The first dance is the GPAC score that will be posted on the GPAC website. They will take the second dance and combine it with the first, and then that will be their regional score. So it's very complicated. I hope I made sense of it all. But that will be in Crete, Nebraska at Doan University. We will get the times on that as soon as we get them. So please check out our Instagram at CUNEKoopski and Twitter
at Koopski
to find out information when that comes out.
You know, we were just talking about how dance is getting better and better, and cheer is doing better and better too, as they scored their highest, beating Doan 69.60-66.30.
It's very impressive, and as a reporter, I had to cover that. And watching them, they had one giant mistake in their segment, but obviously didn't hurt them in the long run because they won the tournament or they won the duel. But if they were able to fix that, you could see them getting into the 70s for point-wise, and that's huge. But to be able to get their highest at 69.6 is very impressive. They will finish the season 3-1 in duels for GPAC, and they placed third in the Friends University Day of Duels and finished second in the Concordia Dance and Cheer Invitational. So what a great season for them. They will compete on February 27th for the GPAC Cheer and Dance Championships, again held in Crete, Nebraska at Doan University. Times will be announced on our Instagram and Twitter page. On to a brand new sport here at Concordia. It is called eSports. So it's basically people playing video games for a sport. Actually pretty interesting, not gonna lie. They started their season February 9th, unknown to us as it was not posted until this week, really. So we were able to look back at the season. Right now, they are 1-3. Their two games that they play are Rocket League and
Overwatch.
And Overwatch. They've played two games of Rocket League and lost the first one to Carroll University 3-1. And their other one on February 16th against Central Methodist University, they lost 3-0. And in Overwatch, they played that game on February 11th against Randolph Macon College. They lost that 3-0. Then they came home February 18th and played Overwatch against Greenville University and beat them 3-0. So a great confidence of boost to get your first win of the season. But personally, I know nothing about esports. I don't know how this works. But we'll get that information to you as soon as we get it.
I know a little bit about the games they're playing.
Right,
I mean, Rocket League is, if you don't know, it's, you drive a car and you hit a ball, a soccer ball.
You play soccer with cars.
Yeah, basically. And Overwatch, I'm not sure about that.
Overwatch is kind of like Fortnite or Battle Royale type scenarios or Call of Duty.
Yeah, kind of. There's also a team mode that they play, and you know, there's all sorts of different modes that you can play.
Their next matchup will be at home in the esports arena located in the bottom of Tome against Ottawa University February 23rd. That will be at 8 p.m., and they will play Rocket League. All right, that's all we have for you today. Please make sure you tune in to our social media platforms, Instagram, at CUNEKubski, and Twitter,
at Kubski.
And please email us if you have any thoughts, questions, or comments at CUNEKubski@gmail.com. And we'll see you all next week. Have a good one.
Bye. Please, adrenaline.